Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments
Welcome, everyone, or questions. This is O'Neill. It's 6 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the program. We've got the second hour of Outdoors headed your way. You're listening to the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world, and we invite your participation. 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. You can listen at WSB 95.5 FM, 750 AM across the country into 38 states, and the SB, the Sports Broadcast Nation, with WEEI in the Northeast, the big ticket in Texas, and on and on and on across the country. It's 7 after the hour, and we have a lot of calls. We're going to get to every single one of them, I'm sure. But before I do that, we have some very crass self-promotion. Number one, visit O'NeillOutside.com. You can purchase my book there. O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, Remembrances of the Trips and the People. And if you purchase it on the internet right there, I will sign and personalize it for you. Secondly, too, at the bottom of the homepage at O'Neill Outside, next summer, you and I, well, we're going to go to Alaska. We have 5 cabins left with outdoor balconies. Make your reservations now. You can cancel later. Bottom of the homepage is a trip to Alaska out of Seattle and the Lynn Canal. It's the best cruise I've ever taken. Gail and I have done that on 2 different occasions. Let's see what else. All right, we're talking about fall fishing. We're talking about the deer season. And I'm encouraging you, when you have an opportunity, to watch O'Neill Outside, Fox Sports Southeast, Fox Sun, Fox Arizona, the Pursuit Channel, and VOD, or Video On Demand Networks, just absolutely dozens of them. You know, Prime, yeah, all of it. You can see it there. Watch if you can. We have calls here. We're going to get to every single one of them. This is O'Neill. And regrettably for some of you, I'll be back.
Looking for someone like you to save me. Life's too easy to be so damn complicated.
12 after the hour. Welcome back to the program, everyone. We've got a lot of calls. People are kind enough to hold on quite a while. Let's first talk to Jim. He's calling from a little town called Monroe, Georgia. Good morning, Jim. What do you say?
Good morning, Professor O'Neill. Hadn't talked to you in a while. Sure is good to hear from you.
Yeah, I always tell it's you when you start the call with Professor O'Neill. Huh?
Well, you are. You have helped take me to a higher level of college on deer hunting and other hunting and things, especially the way that you've been talking about the planning and all of seed and how to have your preparation. Of course, there's one thing that a lot of guys haven't listened to, and you've been very good this year about cautioning planting too early because of no rain.
Yes.
And I certainly appreciate that. I have held off and probably will not plant till maybe next weekend or the following weekend.
Okay.
We were very fortunate to have a whale of a storm come through last night, and I guess we had a heck of a storm, and it was great. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm very thankful for the water, you know. Early spring, everybody was griping about how much it rained. I told them, I said, you just wait till they turn the faucet off. You'll be hollering for it.
That's right. No kidding.
But, you know, you have helped bring some things to mind that I've heard all my life, but you put an emphasis on it.
Thank you.
I really and truly appreciate another aspect that you've taught me in the several years back is how you listen intently. And of course, when it got real windy one day and you told me to get up off the couch and get my potatoes moving toward the deal, and I have been very luckily to take game and good game in real windy weather. I mean,
yes.
You know, and I appreciate that. I just think that you and Lady Williams do a heck of a job. And I just can't say how much I appreciate what you do for us, because you really help bring things back to us.
Well, you're very, very kind. You know, I guess it boils down to the following. The more I knew, the more I understood, the more I understand, the more I study about this, the better I enjoy it.
I think you're absolutely correct. And, of course, I'm not too far behind you. And something I appreciate that you do encourage people. But if you haven't shot your rifle in a while, for heaven's sakes, go make sure it's sighted in, because as we all age, I don't care if you're 20 and you go to 25, or in my age, 70 plus, if you don't check that thing, your eyes change and your impact's going to change. So please do that.
Well, you change the way you hold the rifle.
That's correct. A lot of people don't realize it. And, of course, I've got to where I put bubbles on my rifle now to make sure I'm not canting it also, which changes the impact.
Yes, yes. Very well done. Well, if you're a deer hunter, you owe it to the game that you kill it then one shot.
That's absolutely correct. The past 10 years I have focused in on coming behind the front shoulder about 2 inches and going up about 2.5 inches where I'm between the spine and the top of the shoulder. And usually that right there takes the lung and part of the heart out, and down it goes. So you
don't have a
bad shot.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Jim, I am a very poor tracker. So I don't care about trying to track a deer. I hate that.
I guess at our ages, it's not as enjoyable as it used to be, but at least if it does happen and you've got some younger ones in the club, which we have several guys that have their sons, and a lot of times I'll get them to go with us if somebody has shot one and we're having to track it, to help teach them and what to look for. And
there you are.
You know, sometimes you lose a blood trail, and the only thing you've got is the pine straw, the leaves that's been scuffed up as they're trying to get away.
In my next book, and I'll get to another. Oh, I got lots of calls, and I'll get to them in a minute. In my next book, I devote a complete chapter on what to do after you pull the trigger.
Yes, sir.
There's a whole chapter about that. About what to do, about with your cell phone. How big a hurry do you get into? Do you do it slowly? Do you do it quickly? Do you take photos from the stand? Do you read? It goes on and on. That next book will be out here in a couple of months.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is very important. There's a couple of applications you can use to where you were and go up to where you last sighted it. And start plotting exactly like what you're talking about. And as you go, you can do that. Now, in the past, before we had these kind of apps, I would take toilet tissue. And then when I'd find the spot where I found blood, I would put it down and go that way. So I had a trail to look to see where they'd been coming from in the event I lost, so I could get back in the area.
Excellent idea.
Excellent. But I can't thank you and Lady Williams enough for living in a fishbowl for us out here, and also doing what you do for us and educating and also helping with the different aspects that you do. I just want to say thank you very much, Professor.
You're quite welcome. Jim, thanks for the compliments, and I'm glad you called.
See you, young man.
You bet. There you are. We've got time for this. Let's talk to Alan, and he's calling from Tallahassee, Florida. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Outstanding.
I know y'all talking about hunting this morning.
That's okay.
Only bad thing about it, The only thing bad about it down here in Florida, the only thing you're going to hunt for down here is either a sunburn or heat stroke.
That's right.
It's hot as bacon in a frying pan down here right now.
Oh, boy.
But the reason I was calling, been traveling a little bit this summer. Went up to see my cousin there in Sweetwater, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
He took me fishing down below the dam there at Chilhowee.
Yeah.
And O'Neill, we caught a little bit of everything. But then I caught a fish and wheeled it in, got into the boat, and got to look at it. I said, what the heck have I caught here? And my cousin turned around. He said, you caught a mean mouth bass. I told him, hey, buddy, you got to quit smoking that stuff. I don't know what you're talking about. And I says, so I looked it up on my phone. And so, sure enough, he knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, it's a hybrid between a – it had the head of a small mouth and the body of a large mouth.
Yeah, that can happen.
And but then it wasn't surely he caught one. It had the head of a small mouth and the body of a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, dang, I said, these bass up here are just sleeping with anybody.
Oh, it's a risky place to be.
Hey, but O'Neill, it's like that time you went to Lake Wilson, fish below the dam. I mean,
yes.
We caught every species of freshwater fish that's in the river.
I'm going to go back there this fall.
Well, O'Neill, I know it ain't that far from your house.
You can get a bite. When you can get a bite or a strike or lose one or catch one on every single cast.
Well, that's the way it was when we went there below the dam there at Chilhowee.
Mm-hmm.
I know coming this spring, I hope you get the chance someday here in the future to go fish Lake Chilhowee, either below the dam or in the lake itself. That lake has really come back. I mean,
that's
the fishing
good.
Up there is just awesome. And it ain't that
good.
Far from
glad
your
to
house.
Hear it.
What is it up there probably to Chattanooga from your house? 40 miles?
Not far, right.
So another 20 miles on up to the dam. It's about 60, 70 miles from your house, you know. But that lake has really come back.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
But I mean, I didn't know, you know, what many people would know what a mean mouth bass is. It's spelled
M-E-A-E-S. I have caught, and I got to go, but I have caught, and I'm sure you have too, I've caught some crossbreeds, largemouth and spots.
Yeah, but that was the first one I'd caught that, you know, there was, it's like you didn't know what it was until, you know, actually he told me what it was. Because, the head was, it looks just like a smallmouth, and the mm-hmm. body was marked just like a largemouth.
No, but
so, I mean, it was a beautiful fish, don't get me wrong, and it fought like you know, something else. But then when he caught that one with the body of a spot, now that was a gorgeous fish, though.
Alan, I got to go, pal. Hey, call more often. I always enjoy your calls. This is O'Neill, and we'll be back, I promise. I hope.
If her love is strong enough to make him stay.
Welcome back. A couple of things before I get to the callers, and I will, is that you can watch this program live on O'Neill Outside at the Facebook page, and the show is edited and in the podcast every week at SoundCloud, iTunes, Waypoint TV, and on, as is my own personal podcast. I would encourage you to check it out. Right now, let's talk to Mac. He's calling about Lake Lanier and always providing something that we hadn't heard about before. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, O'Neill.
Fishing today, sir?
I am. On my way right now.
Good for you.
Yeah, go see if we can catch a few, and it's been good. We've had a really good week.
Oh, boy.
You know, hot, but other than that, the fishing was good. We broke
okay,
a lot
what
of
do you attribute? All right, let's learn something. What do you attribute this week's good fishing to, please?
Well, you know, we're fishing now like we would in August, and I think it's weather. The weather, this warmer weather is uncomfortable as it is some days, just kept the water temperatures up and it's kind of extended our summer fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So really we're fishing like we would in August, starting to see some subtle changes like we talked about last week where the days are getting shorter. Our water temperature when I came off yesterday was 86, which is like you get the very last week of August.
Right.
But
okay.
But if you're going fishing today, don't let that fool you. Summer patterns, live baits on the downline, trolling's off the chain. Matter of fact, I think we just put the printed report on your site just a few minutes
ago,
so people can go check that out. But
good idea.
And we're hearing that all across the Southeast. Fishing's pretty good. striper fishing particularly. Bass fishing's good, I think, relative to the calendar. This has never been one of my favorite months because you get a lot of fish suspended that are hard to target if you're bass fishing.
Correct.
And that's a really, really hard fish to catch. But if you just want to catch fish and have fun, lots of average, smaller to average size fish in the brush piles, drop shot, plastic worm, get you lots of bites, have lots of fun.
You bet.
So,
well,
good day
this time, you know, one of the things I suggest is, and I'll get to the next caller, but you don't always have to be a bass fisherman.
Absolutely not. Fishing is about fish.
Yeah, I mean, go to some docks or bridges and catch crappie.
That, you know, striper fishing actually is really easy, and it's good this time of year. And we see, I see a lot of the bass guys and some of the crappie guys that concentrate on stripers this time of year until it cools off and they get fish. Their fish, so to speak, concentrated where they can get the better numbers. So, yeah, take what the lake gives you. That's always been my approach.
You bet. And when the water starts to cool down just a little bit in the streams, go trout fishing instead.
Absolutely. We get lots of options. It's all good. There's always something. That's what's great about the state of Georgia, though. There's always some type of opportunity fishing-wise. People don't realize, I don't think, how much diversification we have in Georgia, but there's always something to catch. All kind of different stuff.
Now that you mention it, in October every year, I go to the Georgia coast, and I fish with Mark Noble in the full moon around in October. I have never, the smallest redfish I ever caught with him was 25 pounds.
You know, and I have done that, O'Neill, and that is an incredibly underutilized fishery down there.
You bet.
Not just the bull red thing. Trout fishing on our coast is extremely good.
Yeah, lots you don't have to go to Florida.
No, and it's close by. It's a beautiful place. The Golden Isles, that's just fabulous down there. So that's something everybody needs to look into. A lot of people right here ignore it, going a long way to get to where the grass is greener. It might be greener in your backyard. Check it out.
That's a fact. All right, my good friend, have a good day here.
Do the same. Everybody have a good week. Get out there, catch them up, be safe.
You bet. See you later, pal.
Thanks.
There you go. Now let's talk to, before we get to anything else, let's talk to Mark. He's called in from Camden County. Good, Mark. We always learn something from you. What's going on, sir? I didn't push the right button. I'm sorry, Mark. All right, how about Mark now from Camden County? Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, O'Neill.
What's going on with you? Where are you headed?
Oh, it's opening day of bow season. I'm heading to
the
woods.
Yeah.
You were talking about tree stands a little earlier and deer hunting in general.
Yes.
A lot of times, I mean, I've got 5 decades worth of deer hunting experience now. And one thing I always tell folks, especially the ones that are from the more urban areas, is learn how to look, learn how to listen. Learn how to smell again.
Mm-hmm.
Most folks have so much background noise in their daily lives and whatnot that they've basically forgotten how to do those three things.
You bet. That's a good point, Mark. Yeah, and one of the things that you can do to help that is to slow yourself down.
Which is exactly what I was fixing to say. Don't walk through the woods like a bull in a china shop.
Yep.
Take your time.
What people have to do is, I mean, I'm listening to your recommendation, and what people will have to do is they'll have to try that and try it 2 times and try it 3 times and try it 4 times before they realize the productivity of doing that.
Right, and you have to mentally, intentionally train yourself to do that. If you don't, you'll keep your modern human senses about yourself, and you'll miss a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
When you go through the woods, take your time. You don't want to be a loud, intrusive presence coming and going to your tree stand.
Well, I can tell you, when I take 3 steps and stop.
Yep.
And I take 3 steps and stop. You'll be amazed at the things that you will see and hear.
Yep. You hunt in the morning, set yourself a goal to be able to get to your stand at least 30 minutes before you need to be there. In other words, if the sky turns pink at 6:15, make sure you're in your stand at 5:45, already settled down, waiting and listening in the dark.
You bet. That's why I always say you always have to have a flashlight, because people say, well, I can get to my stand without a flashlight. Oh, really?
I'll almost differ with you a little bit on that. I've been doing it for so many years. I keep a small green light in my pocket, but generally only use it when I have to.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm different. I mean, I'm solo, always hunt alone. I go through a great deal of trouble to make sure I have solitude. I'm not a social hunter, in other words.
I understand.
But secure your gear when you're walking. Don't sound like a bag of glass or something rattling through the woods, you know. Be quiet.
That's right.
Allow yourself time to be able to get in and out of your stand without making a whole pile of noise.
Usually the best bass fishermen, the best outdoorsman, the best hunter are for good reasons. Is how he hunts and how he fishes.
Exactly. And, you know, I always tell folks, you know, to tune yourself in. Once you get into the woods, you're in a completely different environment than what you're used to living in every day.
And, you bet.
But figured that'd be a nice little word of advice.
You bet. I always enjoy your call. I look for your name on the screen, Mark. Have a great day, pal, and call me back next week.
Yes, sir, I will.
You bet. There you are. All right, quickly, let's get to the radio prize package. The rules are you have to be 18 years old and not ever have won a prize package before. Here is the prize package. A Bojangles $10 gift card. A Swaggerty's Farm free voucher for sausage at the local grocery store. Whitetail Institute DVD about planting food plots. The Angler Magazine. 2 cans of Fisher's Choice Baits. A Thunder Chicken casting float from Captain Mark Noble, a Thorough Good Boots hat, an Arctic Ice Freezer Pack, you'll be happy you got that, and a selection of True Turn Tackle. That's the prize package. And here's the question, the first caller with the correct answer. What is my wife Gail's maiden last name? It's 34 after the hour. What is my wife Gail? What is her maiden last name? And see, I've got a second here to tell you. Our questions are not to direct attention from us, to us, either me or Gail or the show or whatever. Our questions are directed to people who listen to the show. It's not about the last man to hit over 400. Well, Ted Williams, that was easy. But it's about this program and the listeners. If you're in the truck going to the woods, you don't need a computer to know the answer to that. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255 from Maine to Seattle to L.A. to Florida and everything in between on the SB Nation Radio Network and 95.5 WSB and the 750 AM signal. And give us a call and win the prize package. I bet somebody's already in there with that. We'll check and see. It shouldn't be too hard. Yeah, somebody's already in there, I'll bet. But we'll see. You keep trying in case they have the wrong answer. It's 35 after the hour. And we've been talking about deer hunting a lot this morning. And not so much about fishing. You know, here's something, some statistics that you might be interested in. I love statistics. 60 million men and women over 16 years old in the United States, if you ask them, are you a fisherman, they will reply yes. 60 million. And worldwide, the number one sporting activity among men in the world is fishing. Interesting, isn't it? Well, there you are. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Every Saturday morning, 2 hours of outdoors from O'Neill Outside. A lot of crass commercials in there, but that's okay. We're buddies, aren't we? We should be. I'll be back.
is AM for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now, more of O'Neill Williams.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Private First Class Jose Valdez, U.S. Army, France, 1945. He was on outpost duty with five others when the enemy counterattacked with overwhelming strength. From his position near some woods 500 yards behind the American lines, he observed a hostile tank about 75 yards away and raked it with automatic fire until it withdrew. Soon afterwards, he saw three Germans approaching through the woods. Scorning cover as the enemy soldiers opened up with heavy automatic weapons fire from a range of only 30 yards, he engaged in a firefight with the attackers, and he killed all three. The enemy quickly launched an attack with two full companies of infantrymen, blasting the patrol with murderous concentrations of automatic and rifle fire and beginning an encircling movement which forced the patrol leader to order a withdrawal. Despite the terrible odds, PFC Valdez immediately volunteered to cover the maneuver. And as the patrol, one by one, plunged through a hail of bullets toward the American lines, he fired burst after burst into the swarming enemy. Three of his companions were wounded in their dash for safety, and he was struck by a bullet that entered his stomach and passed all the way through his body, exiting his back. Overwhelming, agonizing pain, he regained control of himself and resumed his firing position, delivering a protective screen of bullets until all others on the patrol were safe. By field telephone, he then called for artillery and mortar fire on the Germans and corrected the range until he had shells falling within 50 yards of his position. For 15 minutes, he refused to be dislodged by more than 200 Germans. Then, seeing that the barrage had broken the counterattack, he dragged himself back to his own lines. He died later as a result of his wounds. Through his valiant, intrepid stand and at the cost of his own life, PFC Valdez made it possible for his comrades to escape and was directly responsible for repulsing an attack by a vastly superior enemy force. Private First Class Jose Valdez died in battle, 1945. It's 43 after the hour. This is O'Neill Outside, and we've got the prize package winner online. And that is, let's tune in now to, Alan is calling. And Alan is calling from Stockbridge, Georgia. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Mr. O'Neill. How are you, sir?
Just fine, thank you. And thank you for participating in the program. And what is Gail's last maiden name?
That would be Williams.
So her name is Gail Williams Williams.
That's true.
Well, she's bad to repeat herself anyway. Well, you won a nice prize package. I presume we have your information. Give us a couple of weeks. Yeah, we'll give us a couple of weeks, and we'll send it all over there to you.
All right, sir. I appreciate you, and I enjoy your show. You're a great man. I appreciate you, sir.
You're very, very kind and very complimentary, and I accept your congratulatory remarks with great humility. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you, sir. You as well.
You bet, and I'll see you soon. Okay, it's 44 after the hour it is right now on O'Neill Outside. Let's talk now to Richard. He's been holding on for quite a while, and Richard is calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard. I always enjoy your call, sir.
Yeah, that's what you say. That's why I'm glad to call, because I think you're probably the only one that really says that.
Oh, no, I enjoy your – I love to see when you can't see here, but the bottom of the screen is where a call, an 800 call comes in. So I always look for Richard down there at the bottom of the screen from West Virginia. Good morning.
Okay. You know, as far as Williams, I listen every week. That's sort of like a tricky question, Gail Williams.
Yes.
I never thought of that because I knew Williams was her last name because I know that's your last name.
That's right.
But I didn't know that was hers.
When we were in high school together, our photos in the annual were side by side.
All righty.
Gail Williams and O'Neill Williams, side by side. We've been side by side ever since. It's been 54 years.
54 years of wedded bliss.
Yes, indeed. Very fortunate.
I wanted to find out. I was asking this because you talked about bait. I'm thinking, like, I don't know if you can learn from this call or not. It's a toad. If you would put a toad on a hook, is that good bait to catch a big bass or a lake trout or a walleye or something like that? Is that good bait? Is a toad a good bait fish?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because see, with the toad, you're actually talking about a water frog and not a toad. A toad is a dry frog. A water frog is a wet frog, and he belongs in the water. But you could hook up a toad and catch a fish, absolutely. But the added attraction is the fact that two things. Number one, it's a natural bait for a bass or a walleye to be looking at. Lake trout, I don't think so, because most of your lake trout are going to be deep, deep, deep. But the second thing is that he would have a fabulous scent, and fish locate bait more often than we recognize by scent than they do sight. Interesting, huh?
Well, it is to me, yes. I just wondered, because I'm thinking that would be something that you could use to catch, okay, not lake trout, but if you wanted to catch a humongous type bass or you say walleye would hit on the toad?
It would in the spring, in the fall, when the walleye are shallow. Now, walleye will not remain shallow very long. Walleye is a deep water fish. But in the spring and in the fall, they will get a little bit shallow.
Like
but
you couldn't,
I,
catch, you
go
couldn't
ahead.
Catch a channel cat, like channel cat with a toad, could you?
Oh, absolutely.
You could?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a channel cat, you know, catfish, he's a bottom feeder. And you can catch him on a variety of baits. And the thing to keep in mind about catching a catfish is keep your bait close to the bottom, number one, or on the bottom, and make it smelly. Because, see, you know, his whiskers, his barbels, they're not really whiskers, and they're not barbells either, they're barbels. And that's how he locates bait. That's how he locates his food, from the scent, and he detects that with his barbels.
Alrighty, I got my education today. So, thanks, O'Neill.
You bet. Have a great weekend, my friend. I'll look forward to hearing from you next week, too. There we go. Okay. Oh, am I not behind? Oh, I'm not. I'm in good shape. 48 after the hour. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. And Craig is calling on O'Neill Outside. You're on the radio, Craig.
Good morning, O'Neill.
What do you say?
Well, I heard you talking earlier in the show, first hour, I think it was, about walking around the deer plot.
Right.
You know, and all. I hadn't heard that in about 35, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had my Roscoe Reams. His name was John Willis Lupo. He was a man that lived off the land like that. And he's gone now, but I miss him. But I was a young fella. And I'd walk out there, and you know, even back then down in South Georgia, we'd pour a little yellow gold out there. And I'd walk out there and look at it every morning before I'd get my deer stand. And I said, man, I can't see nothing. And he said, well, I don't know what you're doing. And I told him, he said, boy, as long as you're walking through that deer plot, they know you're there already.
That's right. They come up to the edge of the food plot, and they smell you already.
Yeah, well, he told me to leave it alone about 3 days and go back and don't walk through the deer plot again. And you know what? It was a good success. And one other thing he taught me, and I'll let you go.
No, please.
I love it. He taught me, we would go through the pine thicket way off. Like you said, if you didn't have to have a flashlight, he said you might as well stay in the bed.
Uh-huh.
But we would take pine needles and crunch them up and, you know, rub them all over us, rub them on our feet, take our feet and, you know, just break them, put them off on the ground and make it. And, man, it really worked.
Oh, absolutely.
Covered the scent.
Absolutely, so, it does. And here's something else that you can do that's connected a little bit. If you got a, you know, a lot of people do, they have a deer camp and everybody has to have a fire. Okay.
Yep.
The last thing you do before you walk through the stand in the smoke of the fire. And that's,
I saw you and,
Milton Crabapple
one time on one of the shows, and he had some kind of smoke bottle like you use on honeybee nest.
Yeah, he had a smoker, and he put pine needles in it, and it removes all the human scent out of your clothes. It really does.
Yeah, as good as I love them Bojangles biscuits, I try not to get me one. If I do, I change clothes.
I got to tell you, Gail doesn't care for it, but I don't buy, when I go to Bojangles now, I don't buy one biscuit.
Well,
I buy
let me
two.
Tell you, there. I won the prize package, three or four months ago, I guess. I mean, you know, that was wonderful. I even took pictures of it, sent it to my brother and all them. But I walked in up here in Tifton. I live in Tati, and old boy that runs it, he says, man, you must love them. I said, I do. But I said, guess what? I'm eating off of O'Neill and Bojangles. Let's eat these two biscuits. Hey, enjoy the show, my friend.
Glad you took the time to call.
Been a good morning. See y'all next week.
You bet. Call more often. There you go. There you are. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Every Saturday morning, we don't talk politics or finance. We talk outdoors and the enjoyment of the outdoors with alone, with your buddies, and more so with your family. You can make it worthwhile, and the talents and practices that you learn and apply during when you're early in your life, when you're a youngster, those will last you your lifetime if you practice those things. And I have, my next book is coming out when I finish it in the next, maybe in the next couple of months. And I'm going to, when we get back from this break, I'm going to finish up the show with a tip about deer hunting that might be a surprise to you. And I have an example of it. So I know we're getting away from fishing, and we're always talking about deer hunting in the last few weeks. Well, the deer season's coming up, and we won't talk about it, but I will say this. The number one thing that you can do with your property that will elevate your deer hunting success is to put in a food plot. This is O'Neill. More deer hunting when we get back. Let me find. Okay, 57 after the hour. I've got a little kind of an ending show tip. It's going to be in my next book. I'll come out with it pretty soon. I want to coach you, if you will. It's tough, but I want to coach you if I can about, and I'll give an example about what to do after. All right, you're in a stand. The deer you've been hunting walks up. He walks into the edge of the stand or edge of the food plot. You've got your shot. You take it. He falls dead. What do you do next? All right, listen to me just for a minute and think about it. You don't have to do what I say, but think about it. Give you some options. Number one, relax for a minute. take a look where the deer walked out. Experience that. Take pictures with your cell phone where he came out. Don't rush it. You know something? There might have been two bucks. The other buck could have been a bigger buck. Did you think that they know when they hear that sound, uh-oh, somebody just killed my buddy? No, they don't know that. So he might want to come over and investigate, and you might have a chance for two. It happened to me. I killed a big deer in Alabama, and another deer walked out, and he didn't like the one that was dead on the ground, and he antler raked him. And I watched it. Okay, if that doesn't happen, get down out of the stand. Go over to the deer. Touch his eye. Is he dead? If he's dead, then unload your gun. Then you might text your buddies that might be on the hunt to let them know, I didn't just fall out of the stand and die. I just took a deer. If you'd like to come over, come on over. But take your photos, dozens of your photos. You can edit them later. Clean up the deer. You'll be telling that story, what happened that day. You'll be telling it for decades. Stretch it out and make it work. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. And if you're too busy to go fishing and hunting and take a kid along, you're too busy. I'll see you guys next week.
Georgia on my mind.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.